And speaking of Gustav, as people in the Gulf are watching it very closely, seeing if it's going to head their way, we've been looking at life after Hurricane Katrina, which is actually 3 years ago from tomorrow. That's when it hit the Gulf Coast. And here's a familiar sound these days from New Orleans. To another familiar sound from Grammy Award-winning musician and composer Terrence Blanchard. This is a common one, too. That's a track from A Tale of God's Will, a Requiem for Katrina by Terrence Blanchard. In his career, he's written over 30 movie scores, including the score for Inside Man, Malcolm X, 25th Hour, and The Summer of Stam, often working with Spike Lee. He is also a proud New Orleans native who spent the past 3 years working hard to rebuild New Orleans and keep its musical traditions strong. He joins us now from New Orleans. And Terrence, welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
we're very grateful to have you. Let's start with Tropical Storm Gustav. I mean, what's going through your head?
Well, we're all keeping our fingers crossed and saying our prayers that this thing will turn and hopefully head back out into the water and dissipate. But, you know, in the larger scheme of things, with most of us who are very thoughtful about the whole thing, we're looking at it as another test. I mean, you know, we have to wait and see what's going to happen with our levees. We've been hearing that the levees have been shored up by the Army Corps of Engineers, you know, but we won't know until we actually have another situation where they are tested, and this seems to be the one.
I would think that would make for some, you know, nerve-wracking times, although so much is uncertain at this point. But let's talk about how your life and your music changed after Katrina.
Well, it changed in a unusual way for me. I mean, you know, I'm an artist, and, you know, being an artist, we always make commentary on social issues. But I think the big difference is that after Katrina, we were all forced to realize that, you know, we didn't feel like our government had our backs. So a lot of us have become more active in the community, you know, doing things, you know, away from the government and trying to get things done on our own. I think that's probably the biggest difference, that's the biggest thing that's changed in my life. You know, I've always been active in the community, but, you know, in terms of funding programs that we're trying to do here, we're actually trying to raise the money ourselves instead of going to the federal government to help us. We're finding ways to do things without funding at all, you know.
And that would be, the example would be your Monk Institute, which actually used to be in Los Angeles, but you moved it back to New Orleans post-Katrina. Tell us about the Institute and what you are doing with it.
Well, the Institute, first of all, is a graduate program where Herbie Hancock and Wayne Shorter are on the board, two great musicians, also Ron Carter, another great musician. And we bring in students from all around the world. It's a two-year graduate program, but the reason why I wanted this program to be here in New Orleans is because the program itself has always had a serious commitment to a community service. And we take our students and we send them into the high schools and the middle schools to work with younger kids to help inspire them to play. And that's the reason why I really wanted the program here, because we could exist anywhere in terms of working with our graduate students. But I told the director, I said, you have to tell me what city is more deserving of this type of program with its commitment to community service than New Orleans. And
well, let's hear you jamming with some of those students a couple of years ago. Terrence, you remember that last year?
No.
I guess a lot of things have been going through your mind bit lately.
But having Monk in New Orleans raises a really interesting question. Dixieland jazz came very much out of a place in New Orleans. I'm wondering if the sense of place helps musicians in some way.
Oh, definitely. That was part of the reason. That was another reason why everybody was excited about moving here, because this is the birthplace of jazz. But the thing that's really great for our students is that, you know, they're giving to the community, but they're also getting something from it as well, because we still have a healthy music scene here. And they're going out and, you know, starting relationships with some very established and, you know, are very well-seasoned musicians, and they've been learning a great deal their first year here.
Let's get to your music. Let's talk about A Tale of God's Will, A Requiem for Katrina, which actually won a Grammy. And you told me a couple of weeks ago that there are just some things that you can't put into words, but you can put into your music. Describe what this album means to you.
Oh, man. What it means to me is that, you know, it signifies the spirit and the courage of the citizens here, you know, because I've said, you know, I didn't feel like I won the Grammy. I felt like New Orleans won the Grammy, because basically I was just trying to tell their story, and I just tried to be a conduit for all the people here who had stories to tell, because I kept hearing so many stories in the aftermath of the hurricane, and I tried to set those to music.
Let's listen to one of my favorites here. That's called The Funeral Dirge. Tell us what inspired you here.
Well, when Spike first started to show the footage to me, you know, when he came over to my home, actually, we didn't have much in the house because the refrigerator was all, you know, we had to throw that away. We had broken windows and we were cleaning up. My family was still in L.A. But Spike was here shooting the interviews, and he came over to the house to show me the first 2 hours. And when he got to the part where there were dead bodies that were, you know, all over the city, it really broke my heart. You know, it broke my heart to think that there was nobody here to rescue people and nobody here to take care of these fallen citizens, you know. And I wanted to do something that, A, gave them a proper burial, and B, showed their courage, you know. And because I looked at them as heroes, because some of those folks were people who were in the water trying to save other people and perished.
How are you going to spend the anniversary tomorrow, Terrence?
Well, you know, we're all going to be very reflective. I mean, you know, given that Gustav is out in the, you know, in the ocean, and tomorrow's at the anniversary, I know a lot of us are going to be reflecting on, you know, what happened and what's our future going to be like, you know. But the other thing, too, we all are very hopeful, because we do have a lot of positive things that have been happening here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to keep our minds on those and keep pushing forward.
Terrence Blanchard, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Terrence Blanchard, trumpeter, bandleader, arranger, film score composer, Grammy Award-winning artist, came to us from New Orleans.
And here echoes from that music of Terrence Blanchard as we think about the storm Gustav, which is making its way towards the Gulf, ironically and chillingly, almost exactly 3 years after Katrina hit. That's the takeaway for this hour.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.